daughter, accepted, forgiven, and fit for God's use. I've been speaking God's word to myself, which is the act of sowing it in my heart, like Jesus spoke about in the parable of the sower. So, you know, in the parable of the sower in Matthew, Jesus spoke about how a farmer went out to sow seeds, and some fell in on good ground and some fell on not so good ground. And obviously, those that fell on good ground was able to basically take root and bear fruit. I have noticed that I am able to accept God's word, which I used to struggle accepting, because we have been called to a supernatural life, and it seemed impossible to me when I first started. But with the persistent practice of meditation, the grandiose statements in the Bible about who I am in Christ don't seem so unachievable. I have now accepted that I am a son of God, regardless of the shortfalls in my life. I'll now ask Maria to read from Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 to 3.
All right. Good morning, church. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers.
Thank you very much, Maria. Yeah, so I love Psalm 1 because David shows us the secret to his success. You know, abstaining from bad company and meditating on God's word day and night. You know, because it's that important to get God's word in us. Like I said before, it's planting that seed, which is the word. And also, I wanted to preface that scripture with, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. This is Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, he will reap. And I love that because it's just very clear and concise. It's like, you will reap what you sow. Whatever you put into your life, you will get back out. When Jesus had finished his fast, which lasted for 40 days and 40 nights, the devil came to tempt him and asked him to turn stones to bread. The Bible testified that Jesus was very hungry. Instead of complying with the devil's suggestion, Jesus responded with, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." This statement shows us that on a certain level, words are consumable like food. And God's desire is that we should consume and digest his word. So an example of consuming and digesting words is like you hear something and you choose to keep it within you. You choose to live according to it. So it's like when you eat, obviously it becomes a part of you and then it enables you to live. Just like God would desire that we listen to his word and we store it in our heart so that we can practice it and live according to it. You know, James said, "I'll show you what I believe by the way I live." It's not necessarily what I say that demonstrates what I believe, it's the way I live. You know, you hear that actions speak louder than words, you know, and Jesus said, "By their fruits you'll know them." So, if God's word is life and health to man, does that mean that anything not in agreement with God's word is poisonous and deadly, no matter how nice it sounds or feels? In Hebrews, the writer states, "By faith, the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which can be seen were made by things which cannot be seen." We can conclude from this verse that words are spiritual and they are able to affect every aspect of life. An experiment was conducted in Japan by a doctor called Nasaru Emoto. So he took three beakers of rice and put water in the beakers. And for a month, he would say thank you to one beaker. The next beaker, he said, "You're an idiot," to. And then the third beaker, he would He just ignored it completely. After a month, the rice that had been thanked began to ferment and gave off a strong and pleasant aroma. The rice that was called an idiot turned black, and the rice that was ignored began to rot. We can see here that our words carry spiritual life, and that life can impact objects and people we communicate to. Therefore, we should be able to see a correlation between people's words and their life. Someone who speaks a lot of negative words to or about themselves will have a life that reflects the negative reality they speak. And vice versa, a person who speaks God's word to or about themselves will have the results it offers. What about you? What have you been speaking over your life? Words of life, as God would have us speak into our lives, or death, as the enemy desires? God's word can be trusted because God cannot lie, nor does he joke. Why? Because God's word is alive, and when he speaks, it happens. In the book of Titus, chapter 1, verses 2, Paul states that God cannot lie, so we can trust his promises. Isaiah 55, 10 to 11 says, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." God tells Isaiah that like the rain and snow that falls and accomplishes the purpose of watering the earth to make it yield a harvest, so will his word not return to him without accomplishing the purpose for which he spoke it. I used to think that when Jesus would talk to people and say things like "fear not" or "peace be still," that he was trying to convince them mentally. Now I've realized that his words carry life and power, and the power to accomplish whatever he says. Just like when he said to Lazarus, "come forth," or when he said to the tree, "no one will eat of you again," and overnight Peter testified that the tree basically shriveled up and died. I've heard a pastor say before that why did he call his name Lazarus specifically instead of just saying "come out"? And the answer was because Jesus, if he didn't call his name specifically, everyone that was dead would have risen up, because Jesus himself said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Not many people got that as well. John 6, verses 63, Jesus says, "It is the spirit that gives life. The flesh has nothing to give. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." In my journey to understand life more, I started to see human beings like robots and the words in our hearts like the programming a robot has. A robot without a program will do nothing, but also a robot is restricted to doing only what programming it has. Likewise, we are the product of the words that we believe and the words that live in us. David, the psalmist, was very intentional about his word life. In Psalms 119:11, David says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." David is not just aware of God's word as to have it on his mind, but David has forcefully impressed on his heart the commandments of God through meditation, which conditions him to live by those words. One of the things Jesus said is, "out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Let's liken the heart to a cup. If you fill a cup with enough liquid, when the cup is full, it will naturally pour out the liquid. Likewise, our hearts naturally pour out the thoughts and issues that are in it. In Matthew 12:36, Jesus also said, "But I say unto you, that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. This clearly states that Jesus has opened the door of heaven to us, and the words that we speak will either give us access or stop us from entering. If you were worrying about making it to heaven, you now see you need not worry anymore, because you are the one that determines whether you make it or not. You can carry, we can start singing that old chorus, when we all get to heaven, what a wonderful day it will be. And we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout victory. So then, how are we to speak as Christians, people called children of God and co-heirs with Jesus? Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will neither leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we may say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me.